From time to time, people ask me, can I be baptized? What is about baptism? And when is baptism? And so I arranged this morning a simple but biblical study about baptism. Because I want to challenge your mind. If you have not been baptized properly, I want to challenge your mind today. Of course, if you are listening over the internet, over the radio, well, if you're in Salinas and so on, you could come here to be baptized. But those who listen over other places, you can go to the local church and ask your pastor. But I want you to pay attention. What baptism really means. Before Jesus ascended into heaven, He gave the disciples the Great Commission. That's what we call it. Turn your Bible to our reading today, Matthew's, the very last chapter, chapter 28. And let me read to you verse 18, 19, and 20 again. And then we're going to compare that with Mark. And what I like to do at the teaching of baptism, who were the first people baptized? In the book of Acts we have it. So let's follow them, all right? We're going to walk with the people that were baptized and see what happened prior to be baptized. And so we move on and we learn about baptism. And I'm going to ask you the $4 million question. Are you willing to obey the Lord and this command of the Lord? May I read the scripture for you slowly on Matthew 28, verse 18. And Jesus came and spoke to them saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. That means it's absolute. Is that right? It's absolute. That contradicts the words of our president in Trinidad. He said, there is no absolute, he said to the Spanish people, he is no absolute belief in America. Muslims, always he said that, Muslims can this and Jews can this and the other. And I wrote already a big letter to the president. There is an absolute. All authority is given unto me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations. See, he said, go ye therefore. He said, take an option. Is that what I said? If you like to. Is that what I said? I think I have a good idea. Is that what I said? He said, go. That's imperative, all right? No question. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations. If this is what you do, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Please compare now with the Gospel of Mark 16. The next Gospel in your Bible is the Gospel of Mark. It's on page 1103, the very last chapter. In the Gospel of Mark, the Great Commission is worded in this way. Look at the Gospel of Mark, chapter 16, verse 15. And verse 16. And he said to them, go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. You got it? The Gospel of Mark, chapter 16, verse 15. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. But he who does not believe will be condemned. Know that it doesn't say he who does not believe and be baptized, but said he who does not believe is condemned. In both places, we notice the mention of baptism. Is that right? In Matthew, we have baptism, and in Mark, we have baptism. In Matthew, it is related to the process of making disciples. He said, you go and make disciples and you baptize them. And Mark, it is mentioned in connection with salvation. All right? Whatever the purpose of baptism, it must be important to Jesus, for he commanded. He did not say, well, here is an option for churches to have. It's a voluntary case. If you like it, be baptized. It's good for you. No. He said, make disciples. And so since it was commanded by Christ, it is certainly worthy of careful consideration. It is my intention to glean from the book of Acts what actually took place at the formation of the church and how people were baptized after what and when. So turn your Bible to the book of Acts. That you are in Mark, then you have to walk a few Gospels. And on page 1182, you have the Gospel of Mark. In you have the book of Acts in chapter 2 and in verse 41. And so I'm going to do this. I'm going to walk with you in the book of Acts and every event that a baptism took place and see with you what really took place. And also I'd like to see if there's anything different that they did or they all did the same thing. And so, if that's so, then that's what we practice, all right? That's what the scripture said. All right, Acts chapter 2. The apostle Peter preached, remember? Acts chapter 2, that's Pentecost, and the apostle Peter preached. Then, at the end of the preaching, we have this, verse 41. All right? I read the verse 41, and then I break it in the thoughts. Then said the Bible, and I'm reading from the King James Version. If I make a little clarification, I'll let you know. But I'm reading from the King James Version. Then they that gladly receive his word were baptized. Now, his word were the word that was preached. Gladly they received his word, were baptized. And the same day were added unto them about 3,000 souls. A pastor in Southern California said the other day on television that he baptized 800 people. 2,400 were saved in the church and 800 were baptized. He said he spent 5 hours in the baptism place. All right? And so imagine 3,000. So I imagine that all the disciples were involved in this. So let's analyze the text. What happened prior to baptism? Look at the text carefully. And they that gladly receive his word. The word receive is an interesting word. It's the word when you accept a present. Somebody comes with a present and say to you, this is for you. And you say, thank you very much. And you receive it. You accept it, actually. The old British word here in the old King James, you accepted that present. The exhortation of the gospel was by Peter, preached clearly. God did a miracle in 9 languages that people understood in their own language. Without the speakers, without translators. Peter spoke in his old Hebrew language. And then God brought these into all the languages around, and they listened, and the Bible said that they gladly received his word. They gladly accepted the word. And then what is the next thing after they accepted the word? They were baptized. So I'm very sure that Peter talked about baptism. Because the Lord told him, go and make disciples, baptizing them. So Peter preached the word, and he preached the exhortation. These people, I want you to be very well alert, that these people need to be alert, need to discern what the apostle was saying, need to be convicted by the Holy Spirit, and then realize the responsibility of baptism, and then concede. And so therefore, there is no mention of babies here. Because they cannot do that process. See? All right? Let's go to the next one in the book of Acts. It's in chapter 8. Here it is. Acts chapter 8. This is a long road with this one because it's a lot of verses here. But I'll read it for you. It's good to hear the word of God. And in chapter 8, what happened in the book of Acts? Well, the church is persecuted. In chapter 7, Stephen died. Remember, one of the deacons of the church of Acts died. Died. And if you ever want to know the history of Israel, memorize Acts chapter 7. Is the history of Israel the most, is a summary. In Spanish, we call it a resumen. But it's a summary of Israel. All right? And he was dead. Because he ended up, Moses as Jesus, they killed him. The masterpiece of that killing was the Apostle Paul. All right? Saul. All right? Now, another deacon take place. Philip is called the evangelist in the Bible. Because he will preach the gospel like that. And then, let me pick up the pieces in verse 26. The angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise, and go toward the south, unto the way that goes down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. So the Spirit of God said, you go to the desert, nobody is there, but you're going to preach. Amazing? Amazing. It's good for preachers. They look for big churches so that they feel good. You never know where God wants you to be. Come on. Verse 27, and he arose and went. And behold, a man of Ethiopian. Now, Ethiopians are no black people. Ethiopians are Caucasian, but have black skin. They are no classified black people, Ethiopian. They are classified black skin only. But their lips and the front head and the structure is just regular as a white person. All right? I want you to know that what the Bible called Ethiopian. And in medicine, an Ethiopian is a person of black skin, but it has a different structure. They cannot figure out why, but they have a different structure. God, it's so funny. All right. Behold, a man of Ethiopian, Eunuch, a great authority, under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem to worship. So this man was very high in government. He was the secretary treasurer of the government. All right? So he had resources. He has all kind of water in his he has the Bible called a chariot, but that chariot was like the old Cadillacs of the 70s, big and with everything on it. All right? Verse 28. Was returning and sitting in his chariot, reading Isaiah the prophet. Now, why an Ethiopian will go to Jerusalem at the Passover and trying to listen to what those people do? Then maybe the queen said, now, you go and find out what those Jews are doing. Who knows? And he must have a lot of money. Then now he has a scroll, the scroll of Isaiah. That was expensive. And now look at what the Bible says. See, we read the Bible fast without thinking the moment in the history. He has a scroll there. Verse 29, the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. Verse 30, and Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, understand that thou what thou readest. I learned how to preach out of this. Always when I'm sitting with people, I said, let me read some scripture. And then I said, do you understand what I read? And usually they say no. So that gave me opportunity to explain it. What a great preacher Philip is. All right? And verse 31 said, and he said, how can I except some man should guide me? That fits Romans 10, who said, how people will understand unless a preacher goes out. All right? And he desired Philip that he will come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shears, so opened he not his mouth. And his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch, the secretary of state, answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? What a great question. What the prophet is talking about. Remarkable. See? This is This is wonderful. It is wonderful to know that the Word of God produces questions. So you are not afraid. Don't be afraid to read it with kindness and gentleness. All right? Verse 35. Then Philip, here comes the first thing that happened before baptism. Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture, and in English said preach. And the original said evangelion, which we get the word evangel, which is the word gospel. And he evangelized unto him with Jesus. He's saying, you know, this is the Old Testament. This is what these blessed Jewish people have received, the promise of the Messiah. Let me show it to you. I don't have it here in my notes, but I'll show it to you. Look, go back a few pages to Luke 24. I preached on last Sunday on this, but Luke 24. And look at how Jesus preached to his disciples. In Luke 24, verse 27. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scripture the things concerning himself. Jesus talked about, these are the prophecies. This is the validity of the scripture. The Jewish prophecy are okay, but I'm the fulfillment. Look in verse 44, same chapter. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalm concerning me. So, Philip, he said, here is the gospel. The thing you heard in Jerusalem, that's past. Now, God has fulfilled in the life of the Jewish people, has given them a King of kings and glory. His name is Jesus. What a great preacher. He took the Old Testament and he brought Jesus unto him. So notice, the Word of God was taught. Now what happened next? The Word of God brought conviction. Look at verse 36. And as they went on their way, they came unto certain water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What does hinder me to be baptized? Sir, here's water. Now, this gentleman, the Secretary of State, the Secretary of Treasurer, has water in his car when his chariot. He has water. He has to travel. If baptism was by a sprinkle, he would say, we stop right here. Let's get the can of water. Let's go over there. Let's get this water here. And sprinkle the water in my head. But no, look at what he says. In verse 36, he said, here's certain water. What stopped me to be baptized? All right, here's a great question. You said to me, Pastor, I want to be baptized. What, the only authority that I have to say no, what could be? That I can say, no, I will not baptize you. Let's look at it. The word brought conviction. Verse 37, the word was complied. And Philip said, if thou believest with all thy heart. He said, do you believe that Jesus is the Messiah of Israel? Do you believe that Jesus is the last expression of the love of God to mankind? Do you believe that Jesus is the one who came to redeem your body, your soul, and your spirit, and makes you new, and that sin and is no more until we are with God present? God has fulfilled in Israel the promise, and then in Jesus, he complete that promise. Do you believe that he is the Savior of our life? Now what happened? Verse 37. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I believe. So that was the comply and was fulfilled in verse 38. I'm very sorry if you don't have a King James. Some of the Bible do not have verse 37. Verse 38. And he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they went down. They get out of the Cadillac. Went into the water. Now, some people are trying to explain to me that going into the water is going around the water. Let's read the word, will you? And don't change it, because if you change it, you are guilty of blasphemy, okay? And some of these writers who took that verse 37 out of the Bible, they really, I feel sorry for them. Don't touch the Bible. And he said, they went into the water. They went both into the water, Philip. And then he baptized him. And so here you have another scenario where baptism took place. What are the things happened? The word was taught. Conviction was placed in the heart of the person. The person requested, search out, what can stop me to be baptized? And once he complied with the requirement, which is believing, then he was baptized. That's why I cannot baptize a baby. Even if you give me $1 million to the church. Or $2 million, or $3 million. Because see, I will ask the baby, why do you want to get baptized? And the baby will say, doesn't make sense. I make it really ridiculous, but it's just obvious, all right? So don't you have compassion? That's why I say no, because I have compassion. Because I saw a lot of gentlemen who told me, I was baptized when I was little, and they think they are Christian because of that. Look at the damage you can cause in the life of people. Well, let's get another scenario. Let's go to Acts chapter 16. Now, the people were on the laundry place here in Acts chapter 16. And some ladies need to wash their clothing. They don't have a washing machine. They went to the river, all right? And on the river, they saw, the Apostle Paul saw the opportunity to preach. Acts chapter 16. The word was preached. Verse 13. And on the Sabbath, he went out of the city by the riverside, where the clear English will be, we're supposed to have a place for washing. That was the expression. And we sat down, and this is Silas and Paul, and I spake unto the women which resorted there, or the women who went there. And so nobody was washing. It was the Sabbath, but they were over there. And Paul talked to them. The word of God was preached. He explained these ladies. And look at the conviction that happened in verse 14. In verse 14, certain women named Levia, a seller of purple, of the city of Thyatira, which worshiped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. So the Holy Spirit worked on her with conviction. Verse 15, and when she was baptized. You see the process I'm seeing in the book of Acts? And verse 13, Paul goes over there. Let's see what opportunities are here. Like I go to McDonald's and sit down with my Bible and see who is the next that I can talk to. All right? And don't think it's little. After a year, I got visited in my home by the chief of the Jehovah's Witness. So you don't go there anymore. So why? It's because the people over there, they believe you. They think you are God. We went over there. They rejected all our books. And I was not there. And I said, hallelujah. And the guy was very gentle. He said, say it again. He said, oh, he said, here come the doctor. He said, and he's God. And I said, oh, sorry. I did a bad job. Why? Because I want to introduce Jesus to them. So the guy shook my hand. He said, you're a humble man. That's what we try to do, is it? You never know who's going to come to conviction. But I tell you, the apostle was there, seeing for somebody come on the line, and this lady's coming there. He preached the word. The lady believed, and remember the church of Thyatira? Very soon we're going to talk on the night. She was the founder, the church of Thyatira. And the lady believed, and she was baptized. You got the idea? They hear it. They were convicted. They were baptized. All right? Now, a little tough now, chapter 16. The apostle is put in jail. Verse 25, he's in jail. Same chapter, verse 25. And at midnight, Paul and Silas pray and sang praises unto God. And the prisoners heard them. Now, ladies and gentlemen, what was the hymn book of the church, which was the same hymn book of the Jewish people? The book of Psalms. So when you sing, little boys, when you sing the book of Psalms, you're preaching. And they were singing the book of Psalms, preaching that thing. All right? Now, no wonder an earthquake came in. Look at verse 30. And nobody escaped from the jail. And in verse 30, the Bible said, and brought them out. And says, sir, what must I do to be saved? The jailer, the chief commander said, sir, something happened here. What must I do to be saved? And so the word of God is going into real action into this place. Is really working here. Verse 31, 32, look at what happened. And they say, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And thy house, and they spake unto them the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house. The man said, come to my house. And always, as you saw it, they spoke the word of the Lord to them. All right? And look at what happened in verse 33. And he took them the same hour of the night, and washed their stripes. The man was convicted that he did wrong, and was baptized. He and all his. And some people told me all his means all the babies in the house and everybody. Really? Why don't you read the next verse? Look at verse 34. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. The old house that was baptized was the same old house they believed. So in order for belief, you need to be a little older than a baby. All right? And so the Bible has set a program here. The Bible have established something in that authorize the church to do baptism as a command, but there have to be certain steps. Number one, we must understand this. Baptism is not an option. Baptism is no something that you say, well, I there are a lot of people who said, I like to attend this church and the other church and the other church. They're all good. And they are not taking the responsibility of obeying God. You need to hear the word, get conviction, and be baptized. Some other churches do something wrong too. They say, well, before you be baptized, you need to have doctrines and study a course of baptism. No, no, no. You believe? What was the condition? Philip said, man, he said, what stopped me to be baptized? He said, you believe that Jesus, the Messiah, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, Lord of your life, died for your sin. He gave you eternal life. You believe? And he said, yes. He said, well, stop the chariot and be baptized. So it's a command. Go ye therefore and make disciples, baptizing them. It's a command. If you're not baptized, you better think this seriously. You are disobeying the Lord of God. If you were baptized as a baby, you were baptized wrong. You want to be baptized right. It was a fraud. So you want to be baptized correctly. You want to be baptized under the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy, the Father, the Holy Spirit, the Son. Do you want to be baptized in a way that pleases God, not that pleases the church, whatever that church name is? Baptism then, number one is a command. Number two, baptism, what we learn is follows belief. You believe, then you be baptized. Number three, baptism, I want to use the words of the Bible, require much water. We are designing the new building. Do you know how much costs a baptism a place in the back of churches? $150,000 to $200,000. And so our genius men are thinking, how can we use that money in a different way for the new church? And so we have come out with something, it's like the Lord's Supper table, but it's a sneaky. You open on the top and sin, and it's a baptism place. See? And we slide that in and out. Maybe it costs 20,000 or something. I don't know. Greg can tell. 2,000, he said. All right. And it's just amazing. We roll it in with hot water. They have a button. You sit down. I push the button. You go on and out. Out. Hope you come out. All right. And I don't know how they're going to come out. They know. The deacons know. They're in charge. I'm not in charge of the church. I tell you, we have to think. But they require much water. See? And then, baptism is a picture of salvation. And I want to show you in the scripture. You're in Acts. Move one book to the book of Romans. In chapter 6. Just right there in Romans chapter 6. Two verses. Verses 3 and verse 4. Baptism is a picture of salvation. Romans chapter 6, verse 3 and 4. Here, the apostle gives you a pictorial as he refers to sin. Look at what he says. Verse 3. Know ye not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death. How do we baptize people? Well, we have much water. We take you. We ask you the question that Philip asked the secretary treasurer of Candace. We say, do you believe the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? And the person say yes. Then I say, I baptize you in the name of the Father, because that's Matthew 28. Remember, verse 19, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And I baptize the person. All right? And what I do? I put the person under the water, and I lift up the person out of the water. Why? Because here's what it is. That symbolizes that I'm saved. I now believe God has rescued my soul, my spirit, because he died for me. And look at in verse 4. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. And so baptism is a representation of my death in Christ and my resurrection in Christ and you. That's what the scripture said. Now you change the words and you move the commas and you can make a mess of this. But I tell you, this is so simple. And I'm surprised there are 27 different ways and people baptize today. It's just crazy. If you know what it is, first thing is they doubt the translation. See? They doubt the translation. Second thing is you take a verse out of here, another verse out of there, and then very soon you start making, and very soon, it starts very little, and very soon moves, and people don't know what to do. But they forgot one thing, baptism is a command. I read all these 27 methods of baptism, and I was shocked. They forgot to comment that baptism is not an option. It's not a doctrine of the church. It's a command of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's saying, be baptized. Teach the people and be baptized. That's where I put this sermon. I'm going to put it often, every 2-3 months, a sermon like that, so that people, I have to remind you to obey him. Whether you are 6 years old and you understand, or 20 years old, or 70 years old, you need to respond to God and say, God, I got it. I want to obey you. And so when you baptize, you give a testimony that you are saying this. I believe that Christ died for me, and then he rose again. That's how I'm saved. I'm not saved because I'm smart. I'm not saved because I come to Bethel. I'm not saved because I have this gorgeous pastor there. No, nothing like that. I'm saved because the Holy Spirit has convicted my heart, and now I understand the scripture. I was a sinner, and God provided a bridge for me to reach God. What a blessing. What a blessing. The old-fashioned way. Someone to pray, somebody going to sin. And today I want to ask you, would you like to be baptized? And if so, you walk forward with me, and we schedule in the Kong's pool over there. You warm up the pool, and we schedule there a nice baptism. I was driving in Gilroy, and somebody called me the attention from the back of my car. So yesterday I saw a baptism here in a Spanish church, there in Gilroy. There is a river by the park on the top, and they baptized people over there 2 days ago. So how wonderful, right in public, seeing all of this. So you see, we need to fulfill the scripture, and you need to comply with the scripture. It is not my law, it is his law. And I want to be faithful. Remember my favorite verse in 1 Corinthians 4:2. It is required of a steward to be found faithful. I have to tell you the truth. All right? And you can argue. You can think. But doesn't matter how old are you. We baptized Mrs. McCormick in the wheelchair. In a baptismal place. And what is now Shadow Mountain. I was the pastor there at the church at that time. Was calling Valley Baptist. And Mrs. McCormick wanted to be baptized. And I remember 3 or 4 of us inside the baptism place. And we put the wheelchair and Mrs. McCormick in and Mrs. McCormick out. What a glorious day it is. I have baptized a boy that now is dead. He was full of cancer. Also with a wheelchair and a swimming pool across Russell's house. We withdrew yesterday to find out how is the area. Russell's no more there. And just to, I need a refreshing of the glory of God. And as I want to see things happen in the church. And I drove by there and here's a big swimming pool. And a man very kindly, an unbeliever, very kindly said, please will use it there. Russell has a great testimony in his neighborhood. And we rolled this man in. And there was a man in the back. I forgot his name. Was short from the Navy. Where is it?
Paul Ortiz.
He and I went every week to visit this man in his home. We get the Bible, and then he called us. He said, come in, I believe. And Paul Ortiz and I went over there. He said, I want to be baptized. He was reading the Bible alone. I want to be baptized. And his mother said, okay. And he died shortly after. But it is a pleasure to obey the Lord. It is the magic of the presence of God, if you allow me to use magic, that you feel. So perhaps that's what you need today. Father, thank you that you allow us to go through the scripture in a simple way and magnify your name. Perhaps there are people who need you to obey you. I pray that today will be the day that they say, yes, Lord, I need. In Jesus' name, amen. Just
worshiping the Lamb of glory. With a sense I will stand in eternity, giving thanks to the Lamb of glory. Precious Lamb of glory, love's most wondrous story, heart of God's redemption. Worship the Lamb of glory. Worship the Lamb of glory.
Jesus, and bless us that we be men and women who obey you. In Jesus we pray. Amen. Give a hand to him.